In the fall of 1978, the sharp eyes of some observers witnessed the speedy accumulation and selling of property and having them turned into money, foreign exchange and gold by the relatives and friends of Mohammad Reza Pahlavi. It was evident that a new event was going to ensue. For the public, watching their properties being plundered and sold out of Iran was not such a new and startling event, because the Pahlavi dynasty had started this scheme from the very first days of their reign. However, what attracted people's attention in the fall of 1978 was the tremendous speed at which the plundering and selling of properties out of Iran took place. Meanwhile, countless deeds of houses, factories, or financial and industrial institutes were given to real estate agencies or were sold surreptitiously by the brokers in some parts of the capital at much lower prices. These people were the owners of windfall wealth who lost their morale with the first protestant shouts of the people and said yes to every buyer they could find. This speed and movement showed that something important was about to happen. An event that would result in an impending downfall of a government. A government headed by the Pahlavi dynasty. Reza Khan was referred to as the founder of modern Iran by his children. Unlike his son, who was famous for being a womanizer, Reza Khan was famous for land grabbing. During his reign, Reza Khan managed to expropriate a lot of properties from their owners by force or as a result of negotiation. This plundering had commenced even before he became king. All of these properties were expropriated by Reza Khan as the head of the ministers. With such a background, he became the king, and during his 16 years of kingship, he carried on plundering more assertive than ever. There is evidence of this, which has been left by the strong supporters of Reza Khan and shows the amount of his wealth when he was overthrown. Dr. Mohammad Sajjadi, who was the Minister of Transportation in the cabinet of Mohammad Ali Farooqi in September 1941, was commissioned by Mohammad Reza Pahlavi and Farooqi to urge Reza Khan to transfer all his assets and properties to his elder son. Esfahan Kazeruni's house, September 1941. Mohammad Sajjadi describes his meeting with Reza Shah like this. On September the 20th, 1941 in Isfahan, I visited Reza Shah in the house of one of the merchants favored by him, named Kazeruni. I was accompanied by Mr. Qawamul Mulk Shirazi, Ashraf Pahlavi's father-in-law. And in that large garden, we were waiting for His Excellency. On that day, I was carrying the succession letter of his fortunate son in my bag, which was the result of an agreement between the United States, Britain, and the USSR. I proposed the issue and informed him about the content of the agreement. He asked me to read the letter for him. In the end, the king took the succession letter of his son. After that, I proposed the issue of transferring the property. It was a Friday and everywhere was closed. I picked up the receiver. I had to, by any means, summon one of the notary publics to Mr. Kazeruni's house. With some money, I succeeded. I told him to prepare a deed of conveyance for all the properties of His Excellency, and Reza Shah described the details of his properties. The deed of conveyance. Due to the fact that from the beginning of my kingship, I have always aimed for the development of the country, this issue is one of the priorities on my agenda for the reformation of the country. I have always wanted this issue to become an example for all the landowners and to give some of the profits of the lands to all the people of this country. This has been realized now that my dear son, His Excellency Mohammad Reza Pahlavi, has accepted the responsibility of the affairs of the country. Therefore, I agree to transfer all my properties and assets, whether mobile or not, so that he can use them for cultural and charitable purposes in any way that he deems appropriate. Registration is identical to the deed. Signed, Reza Pahlavi. In the end, His Excellency showed kindness to him. A sample investigation of this deed of conveyance reveals extremely valuable points. As the king of the country, Reza Shah claimed that his intention of expropriating the properties and lands was that he wanted to spend them on the ordinary people of his country. But apparently until that time, which was 5 days after his resignation and on his way out of the country, he hadn't been able to do this. In the same deed of conveyance, he admitted that he could have given some portion of the profits of his lands to all the people of the country. Considering that in 1939, The population of Iran was 18,338,867. We can guess that Reza Khan's property was so extensive that it could have promoted the welfare of so many people. Reza Khan told Dr. Sajjadi in Isfahan that he didn't have any money in any of the foreign banks and that he only had a deposit of 68 million tomans in Milli Bank of Iran. To understand how big that amount was, we should know that the price of each square meter of the land on which Tehran University was built was 5 riyals at that time. In other words, Reza Khan could have bought 136 million square meters of land as good as the land of Tehran University. Reza Khan's cash property of 68 million tomans only in one of the banks of the country was extreme. Since the last budget of the Qajar dynasty for the whole country 16 years before was 36 million tomans. According to the information published by the court at that time, while enforcing the law of land reforms, the property of the king or royal state property was 5,200 large lands and villages at the end of his kingship, which were all registered under the famous name of His Excellency Reza Shah. Later, some of these properties were transferred to Muhammad Reza Pahlavi, and he benefited greatly by the profits gained. All in all, the properties of the Pahlavi family were attained from several main sources. The first source was the property that Reza Khan had registered under his own name all over the country after coming to throne. Muhammad Reza Pahlavi, who had apparently given that property to the government at the beginning of his kingship, appropriated them again after the coup of August 18, 1953, and transferred some of them to the farmers hypocritically, and he also advertised this royal transferring. But he received the price of all those lands in cash from the government's treasury. In the process of land reforms, the Pahlavi kept a main portion of the good and rich land from all over the country for themselves forever. And they even appropriated more and better lands by using the endless power of the court and Savak. In this way, the Pahlavi family was the biggest landowner of the country until the last days of their government's downfall. Ironically, the king, who was in fact a full-fledged feudal, claimed that he wanted to make Iran the fifth economic and industrial power of the world. The combination of that feudalistic mentality with these industrial ideals had created contrastive economic and social configurations, and the great expenses of these contrasts were paid by the people of Iran. The examples of these contrasts could be seen everywhere. The king equipped and modernized the army on the one hand and imposed strict discipline and the slogan of God, the king and the homeland to the army on the other hand. Those modern equipments weren't compatible with the medieval slogans. The slogans that placed the impotent king far from the realities of the world. Another source of the property of the king, his siblings and his children was oil. The profit gained from oil was deposited in a special account of Iran's National Oil Organization in Chiers Manhattan Bank, New York branch. The dollars were then sent to other accounts of Iran's National Oil Organization in other branches of Chiers Manhattan Bank all over the world. In its report of April 5, 1976, the United States Embassy revealed that in just one case, Iran's National Oil Organization received $1.7 billion for exporting oil between March 1975 and January 1976. However, only $559 million of this sum was deposited in the account of the government, and the rest of the money, which was more than $1 billion, disappeared. In another case, The United States Embassy noticed that at the end of the financial year of 1977, from the $4 billion gained from oil profit, less than $1 billion was sent to the Central Bank of Iran.